Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Well, I want to read you a verse today. I'm probably going to read you several. I'm going to read something out of John chapter 17. Is everybody here today? How many is here today? How many stayed home? How many don't know yet one way or the other? All right. Good day. Hey, listen, VBS is coming up. I'm telling you what, we need helpers, but this thing is so spectacular every year. They do such a fabulous job. We really ought to have 500 kids there. I mean, they do so good. They put so much effort into it. And I'm just telling you, you know, if you know any kids, you ought to go through your neighborhood. You ought to invite everybody that you can see to come to it. I mean, these kids' lives will be changed. There'll be some seeds planted in their lives that they'll never be able to get away from. And they'll grow the rest of their life. So let me just encourage you. I don't usually take a lot of time to do that, but let me encourage you. It's so vital. That some of these kids hear the word so they don't have to grow up and face some of the difficulties in life that some of us have to face. They need to get a head start on it. They need to get a jump on it, okay? And ladies, you need to be telling everybody you can about the Joyful Hearts thing coming up in July. Hey, we need all of you to sign up, but we need you to get other ladies to sign up. This thing's going to be bigger and better than anyone we've ever had, and I really don't hardly know how that's possible, but it is. And so, you know, you say, well, I don't know if I want to go to that. Hey, just once you stop saying that and thinking that and get signed up and go to it so God can bless you. You have to be somewhere. You have to get involved with God before He can get involved with you, okay? I just had one man say amen to that. Lori, I'm not even going to announce that anymore. We don't even have any ladies excited about that. Anyway, get signed up for that. Going to be terrific. You know, the city gives us a grant every year. They have for the last few years. And the reason they do is because they think we're doing something that makes a difference in our community. And so when the mayor comes this year, last year he looked out and he said, man, I think this crowd gets bigger every year. When he comes this year, I want to hear him say, I'm going to be right up there with him, I want to hear him say, wow, look at all the ladies that are here. Okay. Enough commercial. I'm fired up today. We've already had a lady get saved before service even started here today. And praise God. Praise God. Devil been tormenting her, and she just decided instead of listening to him, she'd come to church and she got saved. So I won't embarrass you, but she got saved. She she was thinking about killing herself, and she decided to come to church instead. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Praise the Lord. We might even get baptized today too. I didn't talk to you about that. I didn't have time. Jesus is speaking here. He's praying a prayer. I want to take part of this prayer out. Verse 20 here. Now he's been praying, and he's been praying for his apostles. He's been praying for those folks that have been walking around with him, that he's been teaching for 3.5 years. He's been praying for them, but he says this in verse 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. You get that? He's praying this prayer for me, for you. Okay? All those who would believe in him, okay? That we may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Listen to these words. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Then he goes on, he said, Father, I desire. Listen to this. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Holy Spirit, you know where every one of us are. I ask you today to use something I say. Use something I say to engage a conversation with you. I want the Holy Spirit to talk to you today. And I hope you're learning that He doesn't just talk to you when you're here. He talks to you all the time, but we ought to for sure make sure He talks when we're here, right? Jesus, this is so powerful. I've read this for years, and I haven't been able to get away from it all week long, and I'm going somewhere, and probably today I'll just be able to lay a little foundation work. But I'm going somewhere, and it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks to get there. I hope you'll hear. All I can do is, I was thinking about this week. I've been putting the gospel inside of me for over 43 years. There's been a lot of times I should have been and I wasn't. I'm not trying to get you to nominate me for sainthood, okay? But I've been putting the gospel in here for over 43 years, and there's something in here. And God, I believe, spoke to me this week. He said, I want you to let it out. I want you to let out what I've been putting in there. And that's what He wants to do with you, by the way. So I'm going to let it out. But for you to benefit from it, you have to want it. Okay? You have to want to receive what God has for you. Not just because I'm saying it. You have to want to receive what the Holy Spirit has for you. I'm not going to be here forever. Now, don't read between the lines here. I'm not saying anything. I'm going to be here longer than a lot of you. But I'm not going to be here forever. And so my attitude is I have to try to impart anything that I can and everything that I can, because I want you to have every benefit. I want you to have every advantage. I want you to be closer to the Lord, closer to your Heavenly Father than you've ever dreamed or imagined. And I believe there's still a place in God that we are attaining for that none of us have got there yet. And I'm going after it. Huh? I'm getting up every day and I'm going after it. And it's not by my hard efforts, it's by my submission, my willingness, my obedience. It's just by my relationship with Father. See, I believe that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about a place that he has with Father. Now, I didn't know what to call this today, so I just called it, what did I call it? Just like Jesus. But he's talking here about a place with the Father. He says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. It's not something future. He said, I've given it to them. He's trying to tell us, you know, I have a place for you. Father, I want them to be one with you just like I'm one with you. I want them to walk with you just like I walk with you. Now, what I want you to understand and what I believe that Jesus is doing here, he's getting ready to go to the cross from 14 through 17. And what I believe here, I believe he's given us his last instructions, his last words. And I believe he's trying to show us a place in God. See, now everything in this book is designed to draw us closer to Father. Are you hearing me? Everything is designed. It's not designed for us to judge each other. It's not designed for us to get on to each other. It's not designed for us to beat each other up with. It's designed to pull us closer to the Father. Now, when you read this book, if you realize that, this thing will come alive on you. Matter of fact, this thing came alive on me so much that I just left all my notes at home because I didn't know which way we'd go to get started. But I believe what God's saying here. I believe what Jesus is saying here in chapter 14. Let me read part of that to you. Now I don't want to... Don't discard anything that anybody's ever taught you about this word. There's not one way that you interpret everything. But take what you hear, not just what I say, but take what others say. Take what you hear and add it to what you already know. Does that make sense? Now, as I say this, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now I'm going to take for it. Now, nobody believes in heaven more than me. There is a real heaven. And I believe in a literal return, that he's going to literally come back and get us. Huh? That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. So don't misunderstand anything that I say here. Let me just get started. He says, now we read this at funerals, and that's okay. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now I want you to understand there is a real heaven. I believe he's getting ready for us. But I believe there's another message in this portion of Scripture. He says, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Again, he's going to literally come back, but that's not what I'm talking about today, okay? He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place so that where I go, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and where I am, that's where you're going to be able to come. He says, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How many is glad you're going to heaven? Okay, but then Thomas says, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. See, now I want you to understand the disciples are hearing this through a natural thinking, through natural ears. Jesus is trying to tell them something for their spiritual ears to hear. And they said, Thomas said, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. He said, how can we know the way? Jesus then said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now listen to this. We can't get saved unless we get saved through Jesus. But there's more to this than that. He says, I want you to understand what he's been saying here. He's clarifying himself now. He said, you can't come to the Father unless you come through me. Now he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place. He said that word place, I'm going to prepare a place where you can stay. I'm gonna prepare a place where you can abide, where you can dwell, where you can make your home. Folks, you don't have to wait till you go to heaven for that. So what's he saying here? He's clarifying in this verse. He says, I'm going to fix a way and make a way so you can come to Father. I'm going to give you the ability to come to Father. The way is the way to God. The way he is. When he's praying that prayer in 17, he's saying, Father, I want them to be one just like we're one. He didn't say, I want them to be one just like we're going to be one. He said, I want them to be one just like we are. Like I'm in you and you're in me, and I want them to be in us. And I want them, Father, to have this same relationship that I have with you. We're going to go somewhere in the next 2 or 3 weeks. If you'll listen, you can go. And if you don't want to go, we're going to go anyway. Okay? And every little thing we chip away, the devil is always trying to get barricades and always trying to get wedges in there between us and Father. I spent most of my life with all those wedges, and I'm through. I'm through. I'm kicking them things out every day. Because I'm going where Daddy's at. Huh? Is that important? See, that might be what David was talking about in Psalms 91. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty. Anyway. He says, I just want you to get that. He says, I'm going to make it possible. What I'm getting ready to do here is to make it possible for you to have the same relationship with Father that I have. Oh, baby, when that curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom, God said, never again, Hank, never again will you be separated from me. Never again will my man, will my daughters, my sons, never again will we be separated. Now the potential is there to walk as one. Now the potential is there. I'm going to make it possible, and I'm going to pay the price so nothing can stop you from getting there. Says, I'm going. No one comes to the Father except through me. Talking about this place in God. Said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. For now, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. Understand what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, If you saw me, you saw Father. I just want you to understand what you've seen in my life, what you've seen me do is Father. What did he say all through his ministry? He said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of him who sent me. Let me just read you some verses real quick. John 5:30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. He just didn't say I won't. He said, I can't. In John 8:26, now I have these laminated in my Bible front, man, because I look at them all the time. But he says, the Father that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him. John 8:28, he says, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak those things. And then the verse we're just about getting ready to read here in verse chapter 14, he says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. You say, well, that sounds good, Hank. But then he goes on in chapter 16 and he says this, he says, and when he, the Spirit of truth, when he, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that will he speak. He will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. All that the Father has, is mine. Everything the Father has is mine. Therefore, I'm telling you, he'll take what's mine and give it to you. Now, all I'm doing is laying some groundwork here today because I want us to begin. Because when those thoughts and those voices, and they come to you and they try to talk you out of what God's got for you, they try to talk you out of what God wants you to do, they try to talk you out of feeling like you deserve it, or any of the rest of those wedges, any of those other blockades, those barriers that come between us, you can push that away. You can cast down those imaginations. You can bring your thoughts into captivity. You can bring everything into subjection to what Jesus says. If you understand this, the whole Bible makes sense to you, the whole plan of God. Peter or Philip said to him, well, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus just got through saying, and if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So from now on, know. If you want to know what God looks like, then remember what I look like. If you want to know what God does, then remember what I did. And here's old dumb Philip. He acts like Hank. Well, Lord, show me the Father. Jesus gets a little more stern. He says, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Nor the words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work. Now, if you will with me, you understand he's talking about this place that he has with God. Folks, I'm sorry, but you and me, we're not supposed to walk through this life as second-class citizens. I'm sorry. We're not stepchildren. We're sons and daughters of the Almighty God. And if we don't raise up and let the world know it, the Bible says creation has been groaning for the revelation of the sons of God, for them to reveal themselves. It's time for us to reveal ourselves. We're supposed to walk supernaturally. Now, that doesn't mean We get the words supernatural and miracles confused sometimes. Hey, I believe for miracles to work in my life every day, but I am supposed to walk supernaturally. What do you mean, Hank? What I mean is I have the edge on the natural world. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have the edge. And everything I face in the day, in the natural, I have a supernatural ability to call on that can change those things that are in the natural, that can position me where God wants me to be, and I can receive the things that God has for me, and nobody can stop that, not a devil in hell, not a devil on earth. Nobody can stop that but me. Now listen, first timers going, what did I get into today? Hey, I just bear with me and don't just listen to me today. You need to come back for a week or two and see where I'm going with this. Because I believe God, we got saved for a reason. Huh? I mean, he wanted us back for a reason. It's not so you can do more. It's not so you can work harder. It's not so you can try harder. You ought to do all that stuff, but that's not why. He wanted us back because he lost the closest thing to his heart when Adam gave it away. Holy Spirit, arrest us all. Let us hear you. In Luke 19, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Where is Luke? Is that still before John? Luke 19:10, he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now he's just come and Zacchaeus has climbed up in the tree. You know the story, because he couldn't see him. He's a little bitty old feller and he couldn't see him. So he climbed up in this tree so he could see Jesus. And when he met Jesus, the first thing he said is, man, if I've cheated anybody, I'm giving it back to him. If I've taken anything I shouldn't, I'm going to give it back to him fourfold. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying here. He's saying today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. What he's saying is, see, Zacchaeus came to a place in his life where he turned around. He said, "Woo! I don't want nothing but you, Jesus. Anybody I've cheated, we're going to get it straightened out. We're going to fix it. Anything I've done wrong, we're going to do it." And Jesus looked and said, salvation came to you, not because of what he did, but because of his change of heart. Because he changed what he was, he changed the way he was. He said, that's called repentance, by the way. He says, I don't want to be this way anymore. I want to be your way. That's all repentance is saying, God, I don't want this stuff my way anymore. I want it your way. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to live the way you want me to live. But I need your help. He says, I'm glad you asked. That's why I sent my spirit to live in you, to help you. But I looked at this just for this reason, because he goes on then and he tells a parable. And I'm not going to read the whole parable here, but he goes on here and he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He goes on, he tells a parable. There was a nobleman who went into a far country and received for himself a kingdom. He received for himself a kingdom and to return. That didn't sound right. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants. He delivered to them 10 mites. And now that mites is equal to, I think it was like 3 months' salary. So however much you make in 3 months, that's how much that was. And he tells them, do business until I come. Now I'm not going to go into all that other thing, but some of them just, they didn't like him, and they said, we're not doing that. Three of them evidently did something or not did something. Three of them evidently did something. One created 10, one created 5 with the money that they'd given him, and one just kind of held on to it in a napkin and didn't do anything. Now, I'm not into that story, but the part I want to say is Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? What was lost? That place in God. That place with Father that Adam had. That's why Jesus is called the second Adam, because he came back and he operated in that place of God. So he did it because he was the Son of God. I'm sorry, but he didn't do those things because he was the Son. He came as a man. He humbled himself and came as a man. So he operated under the law that nobody was able to keep, but he was able to keep it. Well, he came just so he was the second Adam. He came to this earth as a man, and he walked at that place with God that Adam had walked. Let me get back to 14 here. I love what he used in this illustration. He said, here, do business until I come back. I want you to get the implication of that. He tells Zacchaeus, hey, this day salvation has come to you in your house. This day. And he says, now let me tell you this little story. This day salvation has been given to you. This day, the 10 Midas, this day it's been given to you. Now you take what's been given to you and go and do business till I come back. Can that soak in? See, we're just a lot of Christians, not us, but a lot of those out there, you know. You know, a lot of those that go to other churches, but not us. We're just saved, and we're just wondering generalities, and we're just, man, I hope God does something in my life today. Man, I sure would like to do something for you today, God. And I just hope something hit and miss and all this. And boy, I sure be glad when we go to heaven. Lord Jesus, hurry and come get us. We're just fumbling and bumbling. But Jesus said, hey, this day salvation's come to your house. Go and do business with it. Go and do business with it. Let's get back here. Y'all are, don't, if you don't figure it out, just don't worry about it. We're just planting seeds today so they can grow, okay? But I promise you, if you keep letting the Holy Spirit plant these seeds, He'll keep watering them, He'll keep doing stuff. In 6 months from now, you're going to be thinking totally different than you think now. Okay? Because He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. Hold it. How many here think you know everything? A few of you act like it. Don't a lot of Christians act like it? I know the way. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. So shouldn't I want to change? Instead of being locked into my mentality that I have now, shouldn't I want to have a greater mentality? Shouldn't I want to have the mind of Christ? Shouldn't I want to think bigger things? Shouldn't I want to think different than I think now? What I think now is what's kept me in trouble for almost 68 years. I kind of like to wrap this thing up a little more on the positive side. How about you? Huh? And let me say this. If you never understand anything I'm saying and you have Jesus in your heart, don't worry about it. You're going to get there too. We're going to all be there together. Huh? I'm just trying to tell you how you can be a little more productive and you can have a little more fun on the trip. Is that all right? Huh? And you can help others have a little more fun on the trip. Anyway, he said, okay. He said, the words I speak, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. What was the prayer? Father, let them be one like we're one. Just like I'm in you and you're in me, let them be in us and us be in them. Are you understanding what he's saying? He's saying, Lord, pull us, Father, pull us into this relationship, this body of Christ. Pull us into this relationship to where we're flowing and functioning and helping each other and doing what we should do. And he says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, he's saying kind of what I just said. Hey, if you don't understand it, at least believe it because of what you've seen me do. Does that make sense? Y'all, some of you look like a deer caught in a headlight. Okay, let's go on to 12 here. Didn't mean to get bogged down here, but I guess I'm almost done here today. So. He said, most assuredly, he goes on then, he says, now believe me for the work's sake. He said, now most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Now, we hear that and we just think miracles. Okay, but I want you to think supernatural. See, I want you to, we live in the natural. So you can't live in the spiritual. You live in a natural body. But you were designed that way. I mean, if you cut yourself, you bleed. But we have a super that we can add to our natural. That's why when the doctor says there's not much hope in the natural, that's true. But what we do then is we just say, well, I just take some of the super, because there's all hope in super, because he's super and he did it. And I'm dependent on him and not on me. And we add the super to our natural and things happen in our life. Huh? Say, well, I'm up against it. I'm living in poverty. I want things to change in my life. I want things to you know, God wants to bless you, and I go to great extremes about that to let you know that. But when everything in the natural doesn't look good, then we add the supernatural to it, because we're not natural beings anymore. We're a new creation created in Christ Jesus. Now we are supernatural beings. That doesn't mean aliens, huh? That doesn't mean you're a Martian or anything. I'm supernatural because the greater one lives in me and he's supernatural. He'll supernaturally do things through me if I'll let him. Huh? See, what did Jesus come to seek and to save? That which was lost, what did Adam lose? Adam lost the ability to walk with Father. Huh? He lost the ability. God would literally come down every day and walk with him in the cool of the day. Now, some people believe that's night. I believe it was in the morning. Some of you don't get up early enough to find out that it's cool in the morning. But see, he came and he walked with him and they talked and they said, he's Adam, I've made all this and now I want to work through you and be through you. I'm making you the God of this earth. I'm making you the boss. I'm giving you all the authority here and I just want to come down and live and do this through you. So I made all these animals. Let's name them, Adam. Are you with me? And this striped horse comes up, and I would have named him a striped horse. But Adam, can you just see Adam and Father talking about it? Huh? And Adam says, well, but God says, yeah, but he has stripes. And Adam goes, what's a stripe? And he said, well, let me tell you and let me show you. And do you understand the relationship that I'm talking about? Now, your mind can just go on and on and on from that, and that's not what I want. But Jesus said, I came to restore that. And that's what I believe he's the main thing he's saying here. Yes, you get to heaven. There's a place for you. Huh? It's going to be more than anything you can imagine, more than anything you could dream up, because he's taking care of that. But I'm here now. I'm not there. So right now, I need a relationship with him. What did Jesus pray? Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. You with me? See, we've made our objective to get to heaven. And man, you ought to get there. Don't miss it. But our objective is to bring heaven here. Now, we're operating in a fallen world, and we still have devils and demons to contend with, and we still have all these things going on that are trying to mess up God's plan. But we still can live in this world because we're not of this world. And he said, you're going to have all this stuff in this world, but you can be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. I've defeated it, and I've conquered it, and I've taken its ability away to hurt you. Well, a thought came to me, and I'll quit here, but thought came to me. He said, you'll be able to do the works that I do, greater works than these will you be able to do. Now, again, we just think of miracles, and miracles are part of it. But why did he say, if you believe in me, you're going to be able to do, what he said was, you're going to be able to do what I did, only you're going to be able to do more than that, because I'm going to the Father. Now listen to this. You're going to be able to do what I did. How are we going to be able to do more? I mean, what are we going to be able to do? What's he saying here? We just agreed that none of us know everything. Just a few of us think we do. Huh? Don't you hate to hear a preacher that thinks he knows everything? Or she? I usually turn them off. Anyway, don't turn me off. So if I don't know everything I need to know, then maybe I need to know some more. Maybe I need to change some more. Why did he say, you're going to be able to do what I did, only you're going to be able to do more than I did? Well, because we're not supposed to stay at the same level those guys were in that day. We're supposed to grow. And you know that no matter how much you learn, you still don't know everything? Stay with me a second. I just read an article where the scientists have gotten so smart, they said, we believe there's other galaxies and there's other universes, and we just are bumping up against them. And duh, do you think? You're going to be able to do greater things than these because I'm going to send my spirit back down and live in you. My spirit knows everything about Father, and he's going to live in you. Now, you got to get out of your church thinking for just a second. Let me ask you, do you think the guy that invented that telescope that can look out there way past the edge of the universe and see another universe, do you think maybe that's greater things? What about a guy who could take a peanut? He asked God, show me the secrets of the universe, and God has him go get a peanut. Are you hearing me? Greater things than these. Why? Well, because I'm not going to stay as stupid as I am. I'm going to get a little smarter every day, hopefully. I'm not going to keep thinking the way I keep thinking. I'm going to keep changing. Now, I don't ever change from the base. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He died for my sins. God raised him from the dead. And because he lives, I live. We don't ever change from that. But do you understand? See, these guys coming up with all this stuff, they might not even be Christians, but you know, that's God's ability that's causing that to happen. When he comes back and takes us, and the Holy Spirit leaves this place, and the great tribulation happens, I'm telling you what, people are going to realize then that everything good that happens, God caused it to happen. And when he pulls us out and the Holy Spirit out, when he pulls us out, there is no good factor left in the earth, and it's going to be worse than anything anybody's ever seen or imagined. You're not just going to be able to do the things that I do, but you're going to be able to do greater things. Now, don't take away from what you already believe about that, but add to it. You know, we got a man that has been part of this church, and I believe he will be again when he gets feeling better, but he invented a microscope. Dr. Joe, he invented a microscope that they use in all the big labs. When you send lab work off, people use this microscope. You take some medicine probably that has been invented or made because of something somebody saw in one of those microscopes. Are you getting the gist of what I'm saying? See, greater things. Now that almost gives me a brain cramp to try to think that way. Doesn't it you? Well, I know it does, because see, some of your foreheads are all wrinkled up. So anyway, just relax. Just relax. Let me just end this way. And tell you a little bit what I'm thinking and where we're going. And then I hope the Holy Spirit will get us where he wants us to be. How about that? But Jesus says here, he says, I believe when he's saying, he's saying, I want them to be one, Father, with us, just like we're one. He's saying, God, I want Hank. I want Kenny. I want Diane. I want Chris. I want Wendy. I want Max. I want Paulette. See, I just remembered your names. That's why I said that. I want them to be one, just like we're one. I want us all to be so close. I want us to walk in this supernatural realm. I want us to walk in this relationship with you, Father, where you can just flow through us and use us and do things through us. And you can just restore your kingdom. If you don't understand anything else I said, just understand that I just want Hank to be able to live as close to you as I do, Father. Huh? Oh, when you understand that's how much the Father loves you. Woo! Devil can't do too much to keep you down. I mean, he might still try them same old tricks, but now you just kind of brush them off after a little bit. Oh no, Daddy loves me. Abba, Father. The word Abba means Papa. He's my Papa. He's my Daddy. He's my Father, and he loves me. Woo! And I can walk in that same place with you, Father, that Jesus did. Because he's sitting at the right hand of you, and he's there making intercession for me. And when I flub, when I stumble, when I trip, he grabs me and scoops me up. And you've seated us all in those heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if we fall down, we don't have to stay down. And so listen, so this is what this is all about. For God to get us back to this place. Okay? Now there's all kinds of things. In Galatians 5, he talks about some fruit of the Spirit. And he says, while you're coming after me, Hank, I'll start developing this fruit in your life. That's what he's talking about in John 15. If you abide in me, if you'll live in me and let my word live in you, you'll produce fruit. You can't grow fruit. All you can do is abide in him and live in him. All you can do is just keep getting up and brushing yourself off every time you fall down. And I know some of your knees are so skin up that it even hurts to brush them. I understand that. So are mine. But I'm not going to quit getting up. Because now when I find something in my life like that, I just go, oh, Father, cleanse me. Jesus, because of what you did, cleanse me. I'm walking for you. I'm living for you. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to give up. And he has raised us up and he's seated us with him. Now where I'm going with this is because he didn't just tell us we could have this. He didn't just make this way possible so that we could go to the Father. But then he gave us gifts so that we could get there. So that we could walk there. He gave us gifts. They're called the gifts of the Spirit. They're in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm not going to get there, but let me just say, he's given us gifts. See, he says, Hank, I want you to walk in the supernatural. And so I've gone and I've paved the way. I've made it possible. I went to this cross and no sin can ever stand between you and your Father again. And I went down into hell for you, so nobody, no demon can take you there. But I didn't stay there. God in His power raised me from the dead, and that's the power that I put in you when you received me. Well, that's great, but now I got to know, how do I do it? I want you to walk, Hank, in the supernatural. Okay, how do I do that? He said, well, I've given you some gifts. Okay? And he says there's different kind of gifts. And I'm going to talk about this for a few weeks. And I'm probably going to talk about this different than any teaching you've had on the gifts of the Spirit. And that's okay. Don't throw yours away. Just add this to it. Okay? But he says there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. He goes on, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. He said, for one is given the word of wisdom. Remember that, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. To another, the gift of faith. To another, the gift of healing. To another, the working of miracles. And to another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues and interpretations of tongues. Now we're going to talk about these things. But what I want you to understand is, God says, I made this possible. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a way for you. I'm going to make it possible for you. And now, I'm going to give you what it takes. I'm going to give you what you need to walk in this natural life and live it. Okay? Now I read the things, but what you want to just remember is there's three revelation gifts, there's three power gifts, and there's three vocal gifts. And this is just a preview, so maybe somebody will come back next week. But what's he after? He's after Romans 8 says it was his plan, it was God's plan from the beginning. Said it was predestined that we be conformed into the image of His dear Son. And right before that it says, we don't know how to get there. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what we need. But His Spirit does know, and His Spirit lives in us, and His Spirit intercedes for us, and His Spirit prays for us, because He knows where Father's trying to take us. Does that make sense? Anyway, I got to quit. But I want you to remember this about there's nine gifts, three revelation. Now, the three revelation gifts, I'm not even going to go into and talk them all. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. The three revelation gifts give us access to the mind of Christ. The three power gifts give us access to that power of God. And the three vocal gifts open up that line of communication with Father so He can tell us and lead us and guide us. That makes sense? We'll say that again next week. But I just want you to understand what I'm saying here. He's saying, Hank, now I know a lot of times, and I've even done it this way, they say, well, we're going to tell the fruits of the Spirit first because they're more important. Well, I don't think any part's more important than the other. But what I think is when we start walking with God and we start going after God, we don't have all those fruits in our life yet. We don't have all the love we need. We don't have all the self-control and all the patience and all the rest of that. No, but as we're going after God, the Holy Spirit develops that in our life. But as we're going through life, the devil's trying to stop us every way he can stop us. Now, if you're in a situation, how many think if you knew the mind of God, that you might not stay in that situation? Huh? If you knew what God thought about it, if you knew what He said about it, and then you had some knowledge to do something with the wisdom that you had. Does that make sense? How many know going through life we face some things that we just don't have the power to deal with? He said, I gave you the three power gifts. Well, Lord, I don't know what you're saying. Well, that's why I've given you the vocal gifts, so we can open up this line of communication. And everything I know, you can know. Well, did you get anything today? I don't know anything to do but just kind of chop it off for today. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Just keep this in mind as you go. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What Jesus didn't say was, if you've seen me, you've seen all of the Father. Huh? You've seen me, but when we start walking with God, we find we just saw a little bit of God. Because we're going to be for eternity figuring Him out. And every time we get something figured out, the Bible says, it just turn a little bit. And we see a whole new dimension of Him. I mean, some of you think heaven's going to be boring and you're just going to float around on a cloud and eat grapes, but it's not that way, man. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. Well, if you're first time here today, please don't let me scare you off. I'm not going to get spooky and, you know, not going to make my ears spin and shoot lightning and all that kind of stuff, but the pastor's heart in me wants you to know more of God than you've ever known before. The pastor's heart in me wants you to live closer to God than you've ever lived before. How many think that'd be a good idea? Huh? Then everybody stand. Before I preach another message here. Thank you for being here today. And I believe God's touched your heart. And if you're here today and you don't know you're saved, I'm just going to ask that you come on down here and let one of us pray. And even if you just ask the Lord into your heart, come on down and we want to still pray with you. And if you're here today and you've been saved and you've never been baptized, and maybe you want to do that today, we've got towels, robes, everything you need. Diane, go pray with her. She just received the Lord a while ago. And whatever you need, see, this is the time to come get it. And I don't want anybody to miss heaven. And you say, well, Hank, I don't really understand everything you were saying. That's okay. Don't worry about the parts you don't understand. Just remember we prayed for the Holy Spirit to take something that I said and spark a conversation between you and God. Huh? Just spark this, just get you started talking to Him and thinking. And when these seeds grow, they might grow into something different than I thought they'd grow into. But God loves you, and He wants you. And if you need to come for anything, you come. Even if you just need to be prayed for, we'll anoint you with oil, and we'll pray the prayer of faith, and you will be healed. I'm sorry, the Bible says you will. It doesn't say you might. It says you will, so I just believe you will. Okay? If you just need somebody to pray with you and agree with you for something, you come down. But right now, I'm just going to dismiss you. But if you need to come for anything, you come. We'll still be hanging around here. But as you go today, I speak God's blessings into your life. I believe every promise that's in this book is going to come to pass in your life. Say, well, Brother Hank, I don't believe all of them. Well, you might as well believe for all of them. More of them will come to pass if you're believing for all of them than if you're just believing for a few. But just every day, pick that book up and say, this is God's Word. I believe what it says. It's mine. I have it. I live it. Everything in there that you said, God, belongs to me. So I speak His blessings on you. And I believe Him to touch you in such a way that you know it's Him. And whoever that is that's got that back that's can't hardly straighten up when you sit, but I speak healing into that back right now, whoever you are. He's not going to keep you down. I tell you that soreness, that stiffness, you leave in Jesus' name. I speak His blessings in you. You guys go today and you be blessed and you have a good day. And I love you. But whatever, don't forget God loves you. I'll see you next time.